You know, we are the only part of all of God's creation. The only part of all of God's creation that gets to choose to be what we want to be. Did you know that? I mean, a music stand can only be a what? A music stand. A tree in the middle of the forest can only be a what? A tree. We are the only thing in all of the created world of God that can choose to be what we want to be. Did you know that? When is the last time you thought? How many of you ever thought, you know what? I can choose to be whoever I want to be. I can choose it. I can be whoever I want to be. And I can be it. And we're the only part of all of God's creation that can do that. See, dog will always be a what? A dog. Did you know that we're the only part of all of God's creation? We are it. We're the only part of God's creation that can make a promise to another human being. No other created thing can do that. Only we can do that. Only we can make a promise and then choose to what? Keep it. We are the only created being that can do. A dog can't make a promise to another dog. A horse cannot make a promise to another horse. Even a chimpanzee cannot make a promise to another chimpanzee. Only we can make a promise and what, Sue? Keep it. And that's called fidelity. We're the only part in all of God's creation that gets to choose what we want to be. No one else can do that. So turn to your scriptures as we explore our lesson today. And I will have you turn into your Bibles into Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And we're going to be in Romans, so once you get there, you don't have to scooting all around. We're going to be there. So keep your finger on that place. So when I ask you back to Romans, Carol, you'll be right there. We're going to be in Romans. There's a big hand. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12 for the whole lesson. So we're going to read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Oh, amen. You see, we have the choice to do that. We all have the choice to do that. No one can make you not do that. Nobody. Now, I want you to know that you can choose it intellectually, but action has to follow. And you can choose to do it. You can choose to get up this morning and say, you know what? I will not be conformed what everybody else wants me to be. I will not be conformed what every television station wants me to be. I am going to be conformed as what He wants me to be. And I can do it by starting to renew what? My mind. Harry Houdini. By many, at least until some of these other folks came along, was the greatest escape artist the world has ever seen. Who's ever heard of Harry Houdini? Greatest escape artist the world has ever seen. And he made a vow. He said, there is no prison. There is no jail cell. There is no lock that can what? Hold me. And he made that vow. And so everybody decided they were going to try to figure out a way to get him so that they would embarrass him. So one day, he made the vow. He said, there's no prison cell that can hold me. None. Well, they locked him in the prison cell. Slammed the door shut. And for the first 20 minutes, Harry Houdini thought for sure he'd be able to open the cell door. And so he had concealed a piece of metal, which is the thing that he always did, in the belt of his trousers. And he started working on that lock. 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and it's not budging. And sweat is pouring down his brow. He is so frantic. Oh my gosh, 1 hour, 2 hours, he couldn't get it. He sat down, goes back, tries it again, and he could not get the lock to budge. He couldn't get it to budge, and he finally lay down in despair. Finally, there was a lock that he could not open, and he's bumping his head against the cell door, and it opened, because it was never locked. Never locked. You see, and in life, we bump our heads, I can't get it open, I can't get it open. What's the secret to all of this life? What's the secret to having a better life? What's the secret to getting my life together? It's in God's Word, and it needs to be open, not locked. For the truth will set you free. You see, we are the only part of all of God's creation that gets to choose. You choose. And what are these things that we can choose? You see, you get to choose. You really do. You get to kind of choose. Do you want to be the person that can brighten a party by going home? I'll run that by you again. Do you want to be the kind of person that can brighten up the whole party by what? Going home. You can be that person. You get to choose. You can choose. You can choose to be the meanest guy on the block. You can choose it. You can choose to be the one that can make a Christmas party much better by sending an RSP saying, I can't make it. You can choose. You can choose. Or you can choose to be that person that the party don't get started till you come in. You choose. You see, you can be that kind of person that Sissy and I try to be wherever we go. That's where the party's at. You can choose. You can choose to be that kind of person that when there's an empty seat next to you, it stays empty because there ain't nobody sitting there. No, you can be that person. You can choose it. Help me understand that. You can choose it. Or you can choose that there's not enough seats around you because everybody wants to sit there. You get to choose it. So you were not created one way or the other. You created with opportunity. And you get to choose it. Help me understand that. And you're the only person in all of created world that gets to choose. What choices have you already made? Are you that kind of person that everybody runs from? Or are you that kind of person everybody flocks to? How many of you know that both kinds of those people are in the world? Oh, they're both in the world. Are you that kind of person that when you come in, everybody goes, oh my God, oh my God. Or are you that kind of person that says, oh, thank God you're here, thank God you're here. And guess what, Rob? Rob, you get to choose. Yo, you get to choose. I know. You get to choose. You get to choose. And what choices have you made? Turn in your Bibles, please. Romans chapter 12. It won't be hard to find because you were just there. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8.
For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives in liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness.
Everybody in this place has a job to do. Every single one of us. And you get to choose. You get to choose whether or not you use them. That's a really
interesting thing about being human. We're created this way. We're created this way. And you get to choose. Nobody can make you. But no one can leave you out either. We are the only part in all of God's creation that can choose to love somebody in spite of themselves. We're it. We are the only part of all of God's creation that can make the world evolve around us. Where I am the most important thing. You can choose it. You can choose that the world needs to evolve around you. You can choose it. You can choose to believe that you are the most important thing in all of God's creation. You can choose it. But you also can choose to put others before you. You also can choose to be a servant. You also can choose to serve. You can choose it. What choices have you already made? What has defined you? If we were all to write a book, 10 Ways to Be Like You, how many copies would you sell? How many would you sell? All the ways to be like Jimmy Fong. I'm just saying, Jimmy. I'm just saying. I mean, how many copies would we sell? And what would you have to put in it? The only part in all of God's created world of universe of genius, we are the only ones that gets to decide what kind of person will we be. And I'm not talking about your gender. You did not get to choose. I'm not talking about your stature. You didn't get to choose. Certainly you have whatever color eyes you have. I guess you can change them if you want to, Jimmy, those contact lenses. But, you know, you are who you are created to be. Now, what you do about it is your choice. It's your choice. What kind of people are we to be? Well, let's look at some choices that we can make. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, where you are. And we're going to read Romans chapter 12, verse 9. And we're going to read down to verse 21.
Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much depends on you, live peacefully with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Wow. I mean, if I was to take that passage of scripture and try to put a heading on it and say, do you need to do these things to be what? Christ-like. To be Christ-like. To be a Christian. And there are choices that you make. And you're the only part of all of God's creation that gets to choose. Take a dog's food away from him and see what happens to you. Could get bit. Couldn't you? If somebody takes yours, unfortunately, they might get bit too. Oh, maybe not with your choppers, but they could get bit some other kind of way. Couldn't they? Oh, they could get bit some other kind of way. Many of us have a retaliatory stance. We know how to get even with people. We all know how to do that. How many know how to get even with people? Oh, we know how to do that. But see, we have to learn not to what? Do that. That's a choice. See, we all know how to avoid our enemies. But we have to make the choice to what? To love them. And we're the only part. We are the only part of all of God's creation that gets to choose. We can choose to fly off of the handle at any reason. We can choose to do it. And get a joy of your peers, and chances are you'd be found not guilty. But they're not your jury. He is. He is. Every single one of us, every single one of us can make the choice when you get up in the morning and say, you know what? I got Arthur and Itis visiting me today. How many got Arthur and Itis, those two brothers? Who got the how many know they hang out in pairs too? Clyde, you know that? Diane, you know that? Robin, you know, Robin knows that too, a little bit of Arthur and Itis? A little bit? And you get up in the morning and you say, you know what? It's wet cold outside and it's really bothering me. How many understand that? You know, I have been told by Sue and others that, you know, you can forecast the weather with your bones. I did not know that until I broke one. And now that I have surgical, now I really know. And you can make the choice, I'm miserable and everybody else is going to be miserable. Because misery loves what? Oh, you know that passage. It's not in Scripture, but it's in Hezekiah. But a couple other ones. Misery loves company, thus saith me, not the Lord. Hezekiah. Me. How many of you know when you're miserable, you love to spread it around? Some of us have that dreaded disease, which I've taught you before, optic anilitis. You heard that before, right? Optic anilitis, a dreaded disease caused only by man. Optic anilitis, Robin's looking at me like, what the heck? Optic anilitis is when your optic nerve crosses with your anal nerve, you get a crappy outlook. Oh yes, it's real. You're laughing at me, no. How many know people got crappy outlooks? See, they have it. Well, they have optic anilitis. And, well, it's true, Robin. And if you have optic anilitis, you can spread it around. You sit next to somebody that's got a crappy outlook long enough, Jimmy, guess what you're going to have? Crappy outlook. You sit on a bus with people that got optic anilitis for a long enough ride, you'll have a time you get off. And when you have optic anilitis, you need to check up from your neck up. Because, it's true, Eric. Because optic anilitis, which causes this hardening of the attitudes. And hardening of the attitudes is worse than hardening of the arteries. Because if you have hardening of the attitudes, everything is bad. And you get to choose. You can get up in the morning and choose it. It was raining out today. And my bones is hurting me. Everybody's going to get it today. Oh, I feel sorry for Mabel sitting next to me. She's going to get it. Or you can choose. You can choose that regardless of your pain, regardless of your comfort, you are still praising your God. You get to choose. You get to choose. What choices have you already made that defines who you are? Seriously, what choices have you made that defines who you are? Do you want to be, hey, I'm a grandpa. I love being a grandpa. I love it. I love it. You can choose to be the kind of grandfather all the grandkids fighting over sitting on your lap. I want to sit with Bobby. Or you can be the kind of grandfather grandkids say, oh, he's going to be home. I'm not going there. You get to choose. You can be like the block parent. How many had block parents when you were growing up? Block parents. Hit the big old B on the window. How many remember that? You know, you got hurt, you got to go to the house. What'd you do as a kid, right? You look for the B. You look for the B. Oh, I cut my arm. You look for the B. And those of you who didn't notice, back when we were growing our kids up, they had parents who volunteered. You're a block parent. And any kid in there who could fall down and hurt themselves, you were prepared to help that kid. We were block parents. Wouldn't it be bad to go into a block parent's house and say, "Oh God, what are you doing here, kid? You're bothering me. Go bleed on somebody else's porch." That'd be a pretty crappy block parent, wouldn't it? Well, see, we're all block parents for somebody. You see, in this room, before I started this message to you, I had asked how many of you were hurting on the inside. And about 12 people stood up. Wouldn't it have been kind of bad if nobody went and prayed with them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't it have been kind of bad if they said, "I'm not going over there. I got pains in my shoulder too." So you get to choose. Well, here's the really good news for you. Nobody can make you be anything that you don't want to be. But don't blame the world when you choose it. Don't blame the world because you are the meanest SOB on the face of the earth. Don't blame the world for that when you got the, you know, the attitude problem. Don't blame the world when nobody wants to talk to you. Blame who? You. You blame you. When nobody wants to sit next to you, don't blame the world. Blame who? You. When nobody spends time with you and loves on you, don't blame everybody else. Blame who? You. You get to choose. We're the only part on all of God's creation that gets to choose. You can choose to be a servant. You can choose. You can choose to lead by two different ways. By telling people or leading people. You get to choose. You can be the kind of leader that everybody wants to follow. Or you can choose to be the kind of leader nobody ever wants to follow. You choose. In your families and in your jobs and your church and your relationships, you choose. You choose. I taught you a little while ago something called the principles of reciprocity. And it's not like that optic analytics thing. It's the principles of reciprocity. It's a fancy, fancy term. Makes me look like I'm really smart. And all it really means is what? What goes around, comes around. How many know that adage is true? What goes around, comes around. You gossip about enough people, sooner or later, enough people will be what? Gossiping about you. How many know that's a true statement? You get angry with enough people, soon enough people will be what? Angry at you. You spread deceit, you spread lies, you spread pain, you spread all those things, sooner or later, guess what? It's coming back. To who? To you. But if you spread forgiveness and joy and love and peace, guess what? They'll come back to you too. I told Bob, and I'll close with this, I told Bob when he emailed me and said it wasn't 3 days, he had a job, right? I told him in an email, I said, "You cannot outgive God. Just can't do it. Can't do it. God is a wonderful giver, and he heaps it down upon you. But God's a great punisher, too." How many know that, too? Yeah. See, we think about God's, all his blessings. Oh, he's a great giver. He's a great blesser. He's also a great chastiser, too. How many ever been chastised by the Lord? How many have ever been pulled back in and said, hey, get back on the path, brother? How many's God ever put back on the path? Woo! How many know that's not a pleasant thing? Well, somebody once said the definition of character is not what you do in public. It's what you do where? Nobody's looking. I told you a little while ago that I knew that there were some people in this room hurting. It's true. Well, let me finish that thought. I want to finish that thought with you. See, our job here at Faith Community Christian Church is not making more members of the church. That's not our job. Our job is making disciples. And there's a difference. How do we know the difference? There's a difference. Truly, there's a difference. We know how to make members. We've all been members of churches for a long time. We know how to do that. Don't we, Robin? We know how to do that. We know how to make members. But we, more than make members, have to make disciples. Right, Glenn? We have to make disciples. There's a movie with Tom Cruise in it. It was A Few Good Men. Do you remember the scene? And I just forgot the guy's name sitting on the...
Jack Nicholson.
Sitting on the chair, and Tom Cruise says, "I want the truth." And Nicholson says, "What?
You can't handle
the truth. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth." How many can handle the truth here today? I mean, who wants the truth? One, two people? I don't blame you for not wanting to know the truth. I really don't blame you. I really don't. Who wants the truth? Okay, good. Now, see me ask second, and more people. So if you don't want the truth, you need to do this. La, 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 la. Now, I won't pick on you if you do that. La, 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 la. But I'm going to warn you right now. I'm going to warn you, like, when I count to five, I'm going to tell you the truth. Who can handle the truth? Now, so see, okay, I'm going to count to five. If you can't handle it, you go like this, right, and start singing to yourself. La, 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 la. Ready? One. Here comes the truth. Two. La, 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 la. Three. Four, five. Some of you are faking being Christians too. You're faking Christians too. We know how to put that on too. We know, don't we? Come into the church and dress like a Christian. Bring the Bibles. But yet, in those places that you don't think anybody knows, you're not being much of a Christian. Those places where you go, like when you go to work, like in a not church kind of place, Christianity didn't go with you. Like some of those places, like where you live, when you go from this place, you go home to be with your families, you forgot the Christian part. Surely as I tell you, we're bruised on the inside in a quiet place where nobody knows. Unfortunately, sometimes Christianity's hidden there too, and we don't bring it out. We bring it out in our public arenas. We bring it out in our public settings. We bring it out in our churches. We bring it out in our Christian concerts. We bring it out down the light of life and all those kind of places. But in the quiet places where nobody knows, guess what? We're faking it. We're faking it. See, being a Christian here doesn't mean much of anything. Does it, Glenn? Being a Christian where, Mary?
Easy.
Oh, that's easy. Being a Christian where? Out there. See, in this place, nobody hates you. Don't think. Maybe Jimmy, since I said that before, but we're okay. We're cool, Jimmy.
Wrote the book on
it. In this place, nobody hates you. Everybody loves on you in here. You know, this is a cool place. It's safe. Safe place here. It's out there. It's in your families when you lose your cool. It's in places where you work when you don't like the guy next to you. Well, let's end with this. We're the only part of all of God's creation you get to choose. You get to choose. Somebody offends you, you have every right according to you. Just ask yourself. You'll tell yourself to fight back. You have the right because you'll do it. Somebody does something that you don't like, you have the right. You can choose to retaliate. You'll be right. Just ask yourself. You'll convince yourself every single time. Somebody is in need, you can rationalize in your mind why they need to go get a job. You can rationalize that. You have the will to do that. You have a choice to do that. You have a choice to believe that your spouses are your enemies. You can choose that. You choose that every single time. But you also can choose. You can also choose to be a lot less like you and a lot more like him. See, you won't get a plaque for being more like Christ. But you will get a crown. The world will not give you a dinner in your name because you're more Christ-like. But you will sit at the Lord's Supper, at the wedding feast of the Lamb. How many want to sit at that table? That's the one I want to sit at. And oh, by the way, don't think about sitting next to Jesus. He likes me best. How many think the same thing? I'm letting you know right now, my picture's on his refrigerator door. So you go from this place. I hear you, Robin. You go from this place. You choose. You choose. How am I going to choose to be more Christ-like? I'm choosing it. I'm choosing it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to be in this place. We know, Lord, that we've made choices in our lives which are so unbecoming Christ. Oh, they're more becoming of us, of course, but not of you. Help us to understand, clearly understand and grasp, Lord, in order for us to be full of Jesus, we need to be emptied of ourselves. So, Lord, help us to choose to be the kind of people that can brighten up a room by coming into it. Help us to grasp, Lord, that wherever we go, that's where the party should be. Blessed, blessed, because of Jesus in our lives, and all of God's people said,